The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I wonder if you're like me, and when you hear the beginning, "In those days, the decree went out," if you are suddenly at your grandmother's knee or some place, some specific church, or with some particular pastor maybe, hearing these words, they are so familiar, and they're rooted deep down from the beginnings of when we're, if we grow up in the church and we hear this story, it is the most perhaps familiar story. You know, we pastors sometimes have a hard time keeping the season of Advent as Advent, right? How many times have you said, "We want to sing a Christmas song," and a pastor has said, "Wait!" We try to keep this sense of waiting during December, basically, waiting for the birth of Jesus, while the rest of the world is already singing, you know, they've been singing Christmas carols since the turkey leftovers were put away at Thanksgiving, right? And people are already opening presents at parties, and then we come here on Sunday mornings and we try to keep Advent. And I have never had a celebration of Christmas in July. I know it's a thing. I've heard of that, Christmas in July. I've heard of that. People do that. And I have to confess that it always seemed a bit contrived to me. Like, hey, Christmas is fun, and it's a long time till Christmas, and it's summer, and summer gets long, so let's have a Christmas celebration. And there are usually some Santa hats and Christmas carols that aren't Christian. And nativity plays with kids in robes, bathrobes, which is always good, right? So I kind of had this, looking down my liturgical nose, sense about all of that Christmas in July stuff. You know, it really is the season of Pentecost every July, right? So I kind of have always had a real strong sense of that. Until last week, when I was preparing for our Wednesday of Wonder, when we were going to look at the Christmas story, just to see if there was something new that maybe we had missed or some new way that God might be speaking to us through this really old, familiar story. So I read Luke 2 a few times, and I thumbed through the hymnal, the Christmas section of the hymnal, to look at the poetry of, find some of the hymns, the carols we might use. And I found myself to be so grateful to be reading the story. I was surprised at the amount of gratitude, actually. Because, you know, Christmas in July is out of place, and we're just studying it. You know, we're just studying it in the light of being reformed people, and so we're just taking a look at it. But my very soul was calmed, and it was clear that God was doing something. And as God is wont to do, it seems my judginess was being challenged, and my rough edges of maybe superiority were being smoothed, because liturgically we are in the middle of the Gospel of Matthew. Liturgically, we are hearing chorus after chorus of judgment and wrath, wheat and chaff, good soil and rocky soil, wheat and weeds. And last week I read to you, all evildoers will be gathered up and thrown into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then I said, this is the gospel of the Lord. Well, I'm an evildoer and you're an evildoer, so it's hard to hear Jesus say these things, though they help us remember why we need a Savior. And that's the story that Matthew is telling us. He is telling us ultimately the story of our Savior. We just happen to be in the middle where we're talking an awful lot about sin. Matthew is telling us the story of the way God loves the world by receiving all of our hate and sin and not retaliating, but instead letting us kill him. And while we do kill him, ask for our forgiveness or forgiveness from God for us. And then in that grave we put him in after 3 days of not breathing, he took a breath. And with his resurrected life, he did not come for us with a vengeance for what we had done. He gathered us in and ate with us and gave us a few more instructions. Before he ascended, he promised that everything was different. Everything had been changed, and he would always be with us in a way that we could not even imagine the alwaysness of it. And that whole story of the way God chose to draw near us begins with an angel visiting Mary. And a few months later, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. And in the wild cries of a birthing mother, and the clucking and mooing and bleeding of barn animals, and in the first astonished cry of a baby boy, God was born. Somehow, telling and hearing this story when I do not expect it, because I expect it in December, somehow telling and hearing this story in the middle of Matthew's gospel, in the middle of the summer, is a moment of reformation. Because we need to remember that the God who is giving us harsh instructions about sin, who is reminding us why we need a Savior, and reminding us over and over the ways that we keep choosing not to love our neighbors, that's the same God who showed up and allowed himself to be swaddled and nursed and dependent and vulnerable. The same infinite God who chose to become finite for us. Look what love does. Love longs for unity and reconciliation with us, so love makes a choice to become flesh and live among us. And love lives purely so we can see what it looks like to live that way. And we find that it's magnetic and we can't get enough until people threaten us for it. And even when we are rejecting or killing love, love persists, love insists. So this is our God, the God who is born for us, the one over whom the heavens open and on whom the Spirit descends, the one who makes us uncomfortable The one who says, if you want to please God, serve your neighbors, all of your neighbors. The one who calls us out when we are weeds and encourages us when we are wheat. The one for whom there is absolutely no limit of love and grace and forgiveness and mercy. And while the story of the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, has no beginning, the story of Jesus born to Mary does. It has a beginning. It's a holy and lowly beginning. And ultimately, we learn that Christ the child was born for us. So let's stand and sing exactly that. Christ the child was born for you.